This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
What do you think of when you think of New York City? Most people would say the Statue of Liberty, the skyscrapers of Manhattan, the pizza, the yellow cabs, the Brooklyn Bridge. But what few people know is that New York City has a fast-growing football culture, or soccer as they call it in the US. So, what's the football culture like in New York City? What's the place of the beautiful game in the Big Apple? And how do New Yorkers make sure the popularity of football keeps growing in their city? We traveled to New York City to find out. My name is Sam Verhaalte and welcome to the 433 Podcast. We began our journey through the city in Brooklyn, where we met Ricardo Carlotta. He's a member of Secret FC, a community of young individuals who gather regularly to play football in New York City.
Here in New York, we've played soccer in a number of places. We've played on handball courts, we've played on basketball courts, we've played in abandoned warehouses, we've played in lots that are just dirt and gravel lots. We've played at Pier 5, we've played at Pier 40, we've played at all the nicest pitches, but we've also adapted new spaces to become pitches when we can't get access to those. Secret Football Club is nothing more than a community. It's just people who come together over the passion of playing ball, who want to get out of their house, who want to connect with people on a very simple basis. Everything that comes afterwards is a testament to how the community has grown. So we do events, we produce things, we design things, we make things, hopefully things that you'd want to keep, not throw away stuff. It's kind of this free-flowing group of people who just organize to play soccer. Essentially, we have a signal group and we all just, whenever you want to play, you let the group know that you want to play and people will like the message, and from that we'll spin out a game. If we have enough people, they'll usually come together at one of the many pitches that we play at. It kind of organizes itself. There is no schedule. It's very organic in the way that it happens. And I think that that's something very unique and special about Secret Football Club, is that when people want to play soccer, there's a community of other people who are there who will match their vibe and their energy and come out and play ball.
Football is rapidly gaining popularity in New York City, to the point where it might be mistaken for a passing trend. However, Ricardo perceives it differently.
I think it's here to stay. I don't think it's something that is like here now and then gone. Like, the World Cup is coming to the US, and I think that what you're seeing now is already a really well-developed culture for football. It's here. Like, it's happening and people are engaging with it. I think that what's catching up to it is how the rest of the world perceives us for doing that. And in this way, you know, by playing with your friends or by playing in a league, these are all things that kind of add to the fodder of the conversation. They give it some sort of energy, and that's not going to go away. It's only going to continue to amplify over the years that come. And I mean, especially the more people that start to find each other who have fun doing this type of organizing, community organizing, or even just getting together to bullshit, like, soccer is not a trend. Soccer is, it's a community.
One of the most influential figures in New York City football is Kyle Martino. When he was a professional football player, he played for Columbus Crew, LA Galaxy, and the US men's national team. Kyle retired from professional football in 2008, after he was advised by doctors that injuries he sustained throughout his career were severe enough that it would be in his best interest to retire. He now runs Street FC, a football club in New York City, through which people can link up for pickup games. When we met in his brand new football cafe in Manhattan, I first asked Kyle about his memories from his career as a footballer.
When you play a game as a professional footballer, you hear this in different interviews in different ways. You shut out so much, you know, it's like horses with the blinders. I mean, you just see your teammates, you see the grass, you see the rotation of the ball. I mean, it's all very second by second. You kind of never look up to take it in, but we were at Giants Stadium. The first time we played with David Beckham when he joined us. So the LA Galaxy were playing against the New York Red Bulls at Giants Stadium, an hour down the road from where I grew up. A bunch of people from my town were there. My whole family was there. And he was taking a corner kick. And it's the only time in my career I've ever done something like this. But he was taking a corner kick. And I mean, just the stance alone, like, you know, you'd seen it so many times. And I just went like this and just did a spin around the whole stadium. You know, it was like almost 70,000 people. Same stadium I went to go watch the World Cup, my hero Roberto Baggio, you know, play in that game in 1994. So to be standing on that field with that many people there, right down the road from where I grew up, with David Beckham taking a corner kick, I probably didn't do what I was supposed to do on that play, but that was a pretty cool moment. And I got to play in the Confederations Cup in France. A really funny story about that too is, it's so surreal to be faced with your heroes, whether you join them on a team or something like this happens, which is you're walking out to the stadium and, you know, through the tunnel, and you've been in these tunnels, you know, it's like these very, well, they're a lot nicer these days, but yeah, you know, they used to just be like, you know, the ceiling's right here and you could barely fit 2x2 going out. And I'm walking and I hear these cleats next to me just making a different sound that, you know, like, okay, this is someone special that's walking next to me. You know, it's not the sound of a defender that's like, oh my God, those are probably this long. I looked to the right and I saw the R on the shoe, and I knew exactly who it was. And in my head, the little kid in me was like, dude, that's Ronaldinho. Like, look over. And you know, it's a fight with yourself. You're like, don't look over. Come on, man. Gotta be pro. And so I got out to the grass. I was a little bit ahead of him. And I went down to tie my shoe just so I could watch him walk out onto the field. And it was another moment in my career where I was just like, damn. And then I had to shut that off and go play a game. But yeah, that was a cool moment when these guys that you play with on video games end up right next to you.
After his career, Kyle Martino was determined to stay involved in football. He started Street FC to promote football in New York City. There's a reason Kyle feels a very deep connection to the sport. He says, in a way, football saved his life.
The game has saved my life in many ways. You know, it's been the most present and important and beautiful thing because, you know, it loves you back just as hard as you can love it, you know? And so that's been the cool part of my career is it's been so many different things. You know, I think a lot of players struggle because they identify with this thing that they create and go out on a field to do something for a living. And sometimes it can trend towards a job and a profession. But the cool part about now being retired is what starts it all, this joy, and it started seeing it on TV as a young kid flipping the channels and going, what is this? You know, as an American, it wasn't inherent in my household for sure, but culturally it wasn't. So I found this balletic, beautiful demonstration of skill and speed and strength and camaraderie. And initially just thought, that's my life. I've got to be involved in this thing. So I'm fortunate that I fell out of love with it as a player and didn't have the relationship anymore I used to have with it. So now being a washed up former pro and barely being able to limp around a field, I've been able to come back to the part of it that was there at the beginning, which is, I'll consume this in any way I can for as long as I can. I live with depression and I had no idea until I stopped playing football professionally that this challenge of anxiety and doubt and living in fog, it never crept up on me because the game was just such a release. It was this place I felt safe. It was this place that gave me confidence. It gave me community. And so I think that is what I mean by it saved my life, in that, I can't think of a moment where I didn't feel worried or anxious or depressed, where football wasn't the thing that, brought some light back in the room. And so, I'm so grateful I was able to recognize that. And I'm really grateful for athletes that talk about it. I think athletes are expected to be this iron force that shows no pain. And so, I just mean it's been an ever-present positive force in my life, and makes me smile like a little kid with a crush.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Kyle and his club, Street FC, focus on organizing pickup games on concrete basketball courts in New York City. It's hard to find full football pitches in a dense city like New York, but pickup games can be organized everywhere. Here's Kyle on the city's football culture and potential.
For me, I'm always surprised that people don't realize how deep and authentic and interesting New York City football culture is. I can't think about New York without thinking about football. So I think New York is a place of incredible expression, a remarkable diversity, and the game just fits perfectly here. When I think about New York City, but when most people think of New York City, they'll start with the obvious things, the pizza, the food, the culture, the boroughs, the Yankees. There are these things that you think of immediately, but I can't see New York City without seeing the football. I mean, the culture is rich, it's deep, it's diverse, and it's been here for a very long time. I think what makes New York City football culture the most interesting is every nation and their style and their characteristics, their signature, you can find today. I mean, you can go drive across all the boroughs and find how New Yorkers authentically interact with the game of football, but in a way that shows respect for their heritage and for their background. Here's another interesting New York City fact. There are 2,000 basketball courts in New York City. Forget blacktops and handball courts and tennis courts. There are 2,000 basketball courts. And in every country but ours, there is a soccer goal under the basketball hoop. Imagine if on just half of those courts, over-under was able to install their goals and Street FC was able to run their games. I mean, can you imagine what that would do? And that's just half of the basketball courts. What that would do to grow the game in this country and give access to so many people that already love it and want to play it. So they don't have to wait in line for the grass fields. They're impossible to get on. Pickup should be the thing that's there for everyone forever. And, you know, in this country, the game has been hard to find as a kid and hard to stay in as an adult. The easiest way to find footballs on concrete. You know, Cruyff has the best quote I think I've ever heard, which was, I train 3 hours a week at Ajax, but I played 3 hours a day in the street. Where do you think I learned to play football? You know, but behind everything I've been doing in the last 3 years is this very important mission. You know, it's a North Star I can see on the horizon, which is make it true that football is your right. It's your birthright. If you want to play it, you can play it. You know, the health and wellness benefit of bringing football to so many people is obvious, but I would say that like mustache twisting plan behind this is it's also the best way to develop players. So I believe at a molecular level that if we walk by 2, 3, 4 years from now and you see as many people kicking a ball on concrete like we did this morning as playing basketball in this country, then our men will finally do what our women have done, which is win a World Cup.
Someone who definitely understands the importance of street football to develop players is Jürgen Klinsmann. The former professional football player managed both Germany and the United States. We met him at the Bundesliga offices in Manhattan. Here's Jürgen on his childhood.
I really kind of grew up in the streets, so I'm a bit of a street kid, and the good and the bad. So the good thing was I played 4, 5, 6 hours a day with my friends, and I had to be home when it gets dark. That was the rule. And the bad thing was you ended up arguing, fighting, becoming really physical. And I mean, moments happen that they steal maybe your ball. You know, the bigger kids, you go after them and you kind of hit each other. And all this stuff, that so you learn actually just to solve your own problems. Some of the problems you create yourself and some of the problems were created. So it's a great school. I grew up in the area of Stuttgart, and one day my dad sent me to Berlin, and I had an aunt in Berlin, and I was maybe 9 years old, 10 years old, and I saw kids playing in front of the building where my aunt lived, and I asked if my aunt, if I can play with these kids, and they said, yeah, go. So I asked if I can play with them, and they looked at me because I was just tiny, tiny, little. And at that time, how it works is, you know, you get voted into a team, and because I was the smallest one, I was the last one being taken. And I felt really offended. So we played the game, and then I proved the point to them that I'm far better. No matter how big you are, I beat you up. And next morning, then basically we played again, and they started to vote each other into the team, and I was the first one. And those are the kind of the little lessons that you take when you play out in the streets, and when you kind of just adapt to your neighborhood and you meet everybody, sometimes you get stick, and sometimes you're just having a great time.
Jürgen Klinsmann became a successful football player in Europe, where he represented clubs such as Bayern Munich, Tottenham Hotspur and Inter Milan. He also won the World Cup with Germany in 1990. After his career as a footballer, he became a manager. Here's Jürgen Klinsmann on the football culture in the US, compared to Germany, for example.
Coaching two countries so extreme different, like Germany and the United States, teaches you a lot. The United States, definitely, it is a challenge to unify everybody, kind of getting them on the same page, because their backgrounds are so different. You have the African Americans, you have the Hispanic Americans, you have the European Americans, you have the traditional, maybe the Texan kid or the New Jersey kid, the American kind of way of looking at it, very physical, very good athletes, very good listeners, very focused. But obviously they did not grow up necessarily with the game, our game of football, because the other sports, American football, baseball, basketball, hockey, are always there. They learn to play multiple sports. I think this is a very different skill set that they have. Meanwhile, in Europe, you grow up in Germany or in Holland, in Italy, in Spain, there's 95% only one game, and that's football. So it's much easier to stay focused when you have only one sport surrounding you.
Another difference between European countries and the US is the importance of pickup football for the US. Because you don't have full football pitches everywhere, in every city and town, like in Europe, for example. Pickup games are more important in the US, especially in dense cities like New York City. Luckily enough, more and more initiatives pop up to increase the amount of inner city courts. An example is the Common Ground project by the Bundesliga.
Well, talking about pickup soccer or street soccer, however you want to call it, it's extremely important for the development of soccer in this country because you need the kids to play with the ball from little on and not only in an organized club version. And that's why it would be huge, you know, to have more inner city courts for the kids to play soccer instead of basketball, which is mainly the street game for the Americans. Very little kids play baseball nowadays and hockey. You need to be very well organized, obviously, and American football. So this is a huge opportunity for soccer in the United States to play pickup soccer, to have inner city courts to play that game. Building inner city little soccer fields, even if it's on cement or if it's on turf or whatever material you find, is a wonderful, absolute wonderful project because it takes the game to the kids and you want the kids to be off the streets. So socially it's very important. They have something to do. They have something where they get together and play sports. Obviously it's football-wise very important because you develop talent through that. They don't know it when they play it, that they're actually getting better every day they play. You develop football on a very natural, a very organic way, without coaches around, without parents screaming at you. And you learn to solve problems between each other. You know, so because there will be arguments, there will be a little bit of fights or whatever, and that builds character.
One of the biggest football talents from New York is Joe Skelly. He grew up on Long Island, broke through at New York City FC and now plays for Borussia Mönchengladbach in the German Bundesliga. There are not a lot of professional football players from New York yet, but Joe thinks this will change over time as the beautiful game is becoming more and more popular in the city.
When people think of New York City, they think of the pizza, the Empire State Building, the New York Yankees. Everyone's always in a rush in New York. You know, you could see people, you know, just running red lights on the walkways and things like this. It's just what New Yorkers do. You know, when I think of New York City, I see, you know, soccer, I see football, I see NYCFC, you know, a team that just won the MLS championship, a growing city that loves soccer, and that's going to really change the way, you know, people see New York soccer. Street soccer in New York, it brings all people together, it brings all nationalities together, and, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, what race you are, what ethnicity you are, it's going to bring everyone together, and everyone's going to be on one team or two teams playing against each other, but in the end, everyone is playing together and just having fun.
Like most Americans, Joe Skelly played different sports when he grew up, and playing professional football is not the most popular sport in a country where sports such as American football and basketball are much bigger. Here's Joe Skelly on his background in New York and how he fell in love with football as a New Yorker.
Yeah, my childhood was, you know, if you're from the United States, it was just like a normal kid. You know, I went to elementary school, middle school, high school, all graduated, got my diploma, so... You know, I played sports, basketball, soccer, lacrosse growing up. It was just a normal childhood. And then, you know, soccer, of course, I did extra on the side. And, you know, I just did all the little family things. Like I went into New York City, saw the Christmas tree during Christmas time and just did all things like that. So it was pretty just normal American life. I have a brother and a sister and, of course, mom and dad. And, you know, I have an older brother who I looked up to. He played basketball and soccer like me. And then, my younger sister, you know, she's in her teens now, so it's hard to talk to her because she's always just mad, but she also plays soccer and basketball, and, you know, we have a really close bond, and they always help me out while I'm here. You know, my mom and dad both played sports. My dad played basketball, my mom played soccer, and so growing up, you know, of course, you kind of follow what your parents did in sports, and, you know, I had an older brother to look up to, so he played basketball and soccer, and of course, naturally, I wanted to do what he did when I was younger, so I played basketball and soccer. So I'd say, you know, without them, I wouldn't be playing sports pretty much. And, you know, it keeps us together in the house. We play basketball in the court. You know, we play soccer in the backyard. Just we do all these things that are fun for us. Lacrosse, I hated within the first year because I hated wearing all the equipment. Basketball, I loved. Like, of course, I loved basketball. It was neck and neck with soccer, but eventually I was better at soccer than basketball, so I had to give up basketball to make the dream come true and play soccer professionally. Soccer, it's a special sport because, you know, you're free out on the field. It's not like you're a robot where there's set plays, for example, like in basketball. You know, in soccer, you can be free. You can do whatever you want on the field. You can do whatever you put your mind to on the field. The creativity, it's everything you want. Yeah, I ended up in NYCFC Academy. I was playing with my club team, Sachem, and then basically a scout came at the tournament and saw me play. And at this time, I was playing in the midfield. I wasn't playing defense. So I basically had a trial week with NYCFC. They really liked me. So, you know, it all worked out good. I was playing midfield for them and everything. And then after that, they moved me to defense. Yeah, it was special. You know, it was the first year the academy came. So I think the professional team was there for 1 or 2 years. So it was the first academy team that NYCFC ever started. And it was special. You know, it had great players on the team. It was a special environment. The whole club really cared about this team because it was the first team. So, you know, when you representing New York City, you know, it's a special feeling.
There we have it. The most important way to further increase the popularity of football in New York is through pickup games. Ask anyone, from former international Kyle Martino to former U.S. men's national team manager Jurgen Klinsmann or current international Joe Skelly, and they will all tell you that pickup games are crucial for the football culture in New York City. That's vastly different from football culture in Europe, for example. But like Johan Cruyff said, you learn the most important skills on the streets. And from the looks of it, more and more people will get to play the beautiful game on the streets of New York City. I want to thank Kyle Martino, Jurgen Klinsmann and Joe Skelly for their interviews. Thank you for listening to this episode of the 433 Podcast. And on to the next one.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.